And with these newly professed in front of us, we will pray together, and hopefully for many more years, this renewal. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to the secular Franciscan order. We ask your pardon for all our shortcomings, weaknesses, and transgressions against our commitment to the gospel life and against the rule. We renew once again our commitment to the gospel life according to the rule of the secular Franciscan order until the end of our days. Grant also that we may live in harmony with our brothers and sisters, and that we may give witness to younger people of the great gift we have received from you, our Franciscan calling to go forth as witnesses and instruments of the Church's mission among all people, proclaiming Christ by our life and words. Most high and glorious God, grant that we may live justice and peace. All praise be yours, O Lord, through all that you have made. Amen. And let's acknowledge all of these newly professed and their ministers.
got your mic?
That's fine. No, I don't need it.
I gave my mic to whoever it was.
That's fine.
With the ear thing.
It's okay. So I didn't lose it.
No. So, are you holding the book?
Okay. Good morning. We will begin with the Liturgy of the Hours during the Mass. So I know you're all ready for it. So am I.
Like most people,
so are we.
Stay right where you're at. So, just hold it to the side. Doesn't make any sense. They stand
Lord,
right in front of you.
Open my lips.
Audrey, you're doing the invitation?
No.
Okay. We begin.
We begin.
You don't.
And then after.
Okay.
After the greetings, then we do this. I'll tell you when.
Okay.
Up till now, we have done nothing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and the peace of God our Father, the love of Jesus, his Son, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.
And with your spirit.
My brothers and sisters, we are called as penitents to be in the service of the Lord. Let's express that by our ardent recitation of the Psalms for morning prayer.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Alleluia. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his
goodness. Let the sons of Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the sons of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever.
I called to the Lord in my distress. He answered and freed me. The Lord is at my side. I do not fear. What can man do against me? The Lord is at my side as my helper. I shall look down on my foes.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
The nations all encompassed me. In the Lord's name I crushed them. They compassed me about. In the Lord's name I crushed them. They compassed me about like bees. They blazed like a fire among thorns. In the Lord's name I crushed them.
I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord came to help me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is my Savior. There are shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the just.
The Lord's right hand has triumphed. His right hand raised me. The Lord's right hand has triumphed. I shall not die. I shall live and recount his deeds. I was punished. I was punished by the Lord, but not doomed to die.
Open to me the gates of holiness. I will enter and give thanks. This is the Lord's own gate, where the just may enter. I will thank you, for you have answered, and you are my Savior.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the work of the Lord, a marvel in our eyes. This day was made by the Lord. We rejoice and are glad.
O Lord, grant us salvation. O Lord, grant success. Blessed in the name of the Lord is he who comes. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord God is our light.
Go forward in procession with branches, even to the altar. You are my God. I thank you. My God, I praise you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us sing a hymn of praise to our God. Alleluia. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages.
Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever.
Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever.
All you works of the Lord, praise and exalt him above all forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us sing a hymn of praise to our God. Alleluia. Praise the Lord for his infinite greatness. Alleluia. Praise God in his holy place.
Praise him for his
wonderful deeds. Praise his surpassing greatness.
Oh, praise him with sound of trumpet. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes.
Oh, praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with clashing of cymbals. Let everything that lives and that breathes give praise to the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah.
And may Almighty God be our mercy and our peace and bring us all to everlasting life. Amen. And let us pray.
The Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High. and on earth peace to people of good will.
Draw near to us, your servants, O Lord, and answer our prayers with unceasing kindness, that for all of us who glory in you as our Creator and guide, you may restore what you have created and keep safe in us what you have restored. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "Would that we have died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will now rain down bread from heaven for you. Each day the people are to go out and gather their daily portion. Thus I will test them to see whether they follow my instructions or not. I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, in the evening twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, so that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, a dew lay all about the camp. And when the dew evaporated, there on the surface of the ground were fine flakes of like hoarfrost. On seeing it, the Israelites asked one another, "What is this?" For they did not know what it was. But Moses told them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I declare and solemnly attest in the Lord that you must no longer live as the pagans do, their minds empty. That is not what you learned when you learned of Christ. I am supposing, of course, that he has been preached and taught to you in accord with the truth that is in Jesus, namely, that you must lay aside your former way of life and the old self, which deteriorates through illusion and desire, and acquire a fresh spiritual way of thinking. You must put on that new man created in God's image, whose justice and holiness are born of truth. This is the way of the Lord.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were at the place where Jesus had eaten the bread, they too embarked in the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "I assure you, you are not looking for me because you have seen signs, but because you have eaten your fill on the loaves. You should not be working for perishable food, but for food that remains until life eternal, food which the Son of Man will give you. It is on him that God the Father has set his seal." At this they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, have faith in the one he sent." So that we can put faith in you, they asked him, "What signs are you going to perform for us to see? What is the work you do? Our ancestors had manna to eat in the desert. According to Scripture, he gave them bread from the heavens to eat." Jesus said to them, "I solemnly assure you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from the heavens. It is my Father who gives you the real heavenly bread. God's bread came down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir, give us this bread always," they besought him. Jesus explained to them, "I myself am the bread of life. No one who comes to me shall ever be hungry. No one who believes in me shall thirst again." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
nourishment comes in all forms. The gospel, the readings from Scripture have told us about two or three of the ways in which God's people are nourished. It's the form that nourishment takes that is always surprising. Nourishment conscious, as we are in this country and probably all over the world more and more, we are finding a lot about the true value of the food we take into our bodies and what that food does, seemingly as nourishment, but what in some cases is now seen not to be nourishment at all. We have ways of deliberating over what is good and nourishing. Is it just vegetables? Is it meat? Is it what? What is good for one may not be good for another. But we're in the process of discerning that, and we spend lots of time and money in that discernment. In this case, nourishment for the people who were on this Passover journey, insect excrement was bread. Delicious, they tell us, that manna was the excrement of insects who were flying through the desert and in voluminous heaps and spreading over a reasonable distance, collected. It provided the nurturance and nourishment for the people along with the quail. And it was called bread. If you've been to Australia, you would probably have tasted Vegemite. Anybody know what Vegemite is, having tasted it? Okay, it's the most god-awful thing you can imagine. But the Australians swear by it. It's delicious. It looks horrible, but it's delicious. You spread it on the bread and add all kinds of things, and yummy. Right on, mate. Jesus talks about himself as the bread of life. But the deeper reality that we hear Jesus calling his people to is the fact that appearances can be deceitful. Bread is important. But too much bread can be a problem. No bread can be a problem. But even with the proper, if you will, diet of bread, so much more is dependent on how that bread as nutrient, in fact, works in this system called the body to make the human person so much more capable, so much more attentive, so much more alert to reality. He's saying all that without saying it, of course, as you listen to the gospel. But what he is driving at is what we certainly have heard the gospel tell us. In his own words, I, he says, am the bread of life. And the bread that I am is good for your body and your soul. It is the power. It is the nutrient, if you will, that is my presence among you and within you, and that will help you to attain to the goal of everlasting life. I am the bread of life. You who eat my body and drink my blood have life unto everlasting. And so we reflect so simply on that, and maybe so simply that we in fact take it for granted that going to communion is what I'm all about. Oh, I go to communion every day. And for some people, going to communion three or four times a day is already problematic because they've lost a sense, believe me, of the liturgy and what good church teaching is about. And so they're involved, of course, in their own way with the quantity of the presence and oftentimes missing the unspeakable quality and quantity of the reception, the encounter that is once. We miss the signs and the symbols in our daily lives outside of the sacred space that is the church or the chapel. As we go about our daily lives, perhaps as Roman Catholics in the church today, after so many challenges and continuing challenges that the Vatican Council has given us, we've lost the ability in many ways to read the symbols in the churches. If someone were to ask you, would you take me on a tour of your church? Some of you would say, there's nothing to see. It's an empty space. It's been so updated, that perhaps you're unhappy with the fact that there aren't any statues. There are no icons. There might be something in the back or in the side room, but it's basically an empty space with the altar there, which, if you were liturgically taught, would recognize the presence of Christ in a variety of ways around that altar. But it's not the church that you would say you grew up in, where it was a feast to the eyes to go into church and just look everywhere and follow all the lines of the birthday cake altars that seem to go on and on and up and up and up. Signs and symbols are important. Another of you asked to give someone a tour of your church might be a bit apprehensive because you're not quite sure anymore of what the signs meant, the IHS, the PX, as it were called, okay? That bird on the altar or on the stained glass window that's ripping open its breast and feeding the little chicks, you know, how are you going to explain that? And so many other signs. But as more importantly, you heard Paul say this morning, because you know who you are, it should be obvious to all who you are in service of. And to whatever it is, or whatever it is, that keeps you from being a more genuine sign and expression of the one you serve in your life, the Lord, then to that degree, you have to learn how to, what? Remove yourself from some of those attachments. And if a penitential life is about anything, it's about doing whatever is necessary with whatever grace is available to you to begin making more space in your life for the one who is the reason for your living. And that means removing from your life, to the degree you can, what sometimes are unnecessary preoccupations. Others would say all those worries, all those things from times past, recent past, or what you're plotting and planning for the future that you seem to be overwhelmed with, and only too late sometimes realize, I've spent so much of my time preoccupied with all of that, that the one who is trying to nourish me, and which nourishment comes in the solace, the solitude of reflective listening and praying. I've lost that. Paul would say to us in that case, you know what we're talking about here. You know what you must do. Get on with it. Get on with it. You've promised yourself a life of incorporation more fully into Christ. And sad to say, in the old days, the Third Order was called a Happy Death Society. Why? Because, as has been the tradition for many, many hundreds of years in the church, you wait until the very end of your life when you now decide to schmooze the Lord into becoming holy. And it has sometimes very little to do with the Lord, but impressing him with all your fasts and all your prayers and all your candle lighting and everything else, okay? And the Lord is saying, boring. And again, the blueprint of the sacred scriptures tell us that the prophets railed against all that, saying in the Lord's name, I'm sick and tired of all your sacrifices. I'm sick and tired of your burnt offerings. I'm sick and tired of all your libations. I'm sick and tired of what you call liturgy, all the bells and everything else. You know, what I want from you is your heart. And only when the heart is centered on the one who created us for himself will that self begin to prosper and grow and shine and be transformed into the one who made it, who made us in this case. And so the nurturance that we're talking about has got to be about our recognition of what is good for us. And good for us in the best sense of holistic. Good for the mind. It was meant to grow in knowledge. Good for the senses, to be trained to serve us and not to call us their servants. Overeating, overindulgence of any of the things that are possible. An accumulation of things. Francis has addressed all that in his many words of wisdom. But because we're old enough and presumably mature enough, we can take the Lord's words to heart and wonder and long more and more for the food that is nourishment unto everlasting life. A food that creates in me not only the health and happiness in the Lord that I'm looking for, but to realize that sometimes the Lord asks me to eat the dung of this world, no different than he gave the Israelites the dung of the insects as their bread, but it tasted so good. To deal with the doo-doo in our lives, as it were, okay, and come to realize that there's something to be learned even there. That the Lord speaks to us in a variety of ways and forms, most especially in his word and in his Eucharistic presence, in one another. And the list goes on as we become aware of how the Lord has disposed all of creation to speak to those who are attentive to it. And if anyone could be and should be attentive to it, of course, it's us, the Franciscans, who have a lot to say about the canticle of the sun and about love and care for creation and all that wonderful stuff, okay? But who still might find ourselves contributory to the demise of good creation by the way we live our lives. The call to ongoing conversion. You know, perhaps, especially that maybe many of you or a few of you who were Jesuit trained, that the Jesuits were wise in their approach to education. They, from their own backgrounds and knowledge, sought to pursue the education of those who had the ability to be really educated. And so they were oftentimes associated with the educated of the wealthy and the nobility, because it also contributed to their pockets, in the best sense of that term, so they could build educational institutions throughout the world, then and into our times as well. But one of their important principles was, in pursuing the education of people, to look for people who, in fact, have mens sana in corpore sano, a healthy mind in a healthy body. Because the education process, the challenge, the ability to mature and grow, depends on the well-balanced person whose mind is not in a sick body or whose body is not with a sick mind, okay, but someone who can, in fact, function well and utilize the entire experience of themselves, and by the use of that entire experience of themselves through good education for themselves to live wholesome lives and faithful lives, because faith is a nurturance, truly. We heard that from Paul as well, especially Jesus today, okay? That they would look for and still do for the people who are, in fact, the leaders of tomorrow, the people who are going to be the great teachers of today, and people who will benefit from growing in knowledge and truth and in love of God. And without proposing or presuming to be Jesuits ourselves, we certainly can take that principle and appreciate the fact that we can be our best when we take care of ourselves with proper nourishment of mind, body, and soul, and use ourselves to grow in a greater knowledge and love of the truths of God's revelation. Study of our faith, the experience that oftentimes affords us to grow in knowledge of our faith through education, and experiences, many of you have been on pilgrimages. It wasn't to say that I was there as much as to be able to be led to appreciate what has this lengthy experience of a week or more, hopefully, done to give me a different appreciation of the world I live in, to answer the questions about places I've always wondered about. The true pilgrim is a disciple, a learner. Too often, as you've heard, I'm sure, in many ways, people go because it's fashionable. They've got to have 2,000 pictures to show everyone where they've been and to remind themselves where they were because they weren't paying attention the first time around. Okay? So this is all the phenomenon of our human reality called to be enhanced by the divine presence. And that's what you have committed yourselves to. So the instruction that the Lord is giving us for our own growth and transformation has been accomplished in our hearing of his word, and hopefully a good elucidation of what that word might mean for us. And we are about now in prayer to enter into the celebration of what the Lord did to prove his love for us, his living, suffering, and dying, and resurrection, and the promise that you who have committed yourself to follow me will inherit all that I have promised you. The ancient approach of the Franciscans' spirituality, so to speak, as it developed, had the early movement of friars picturing themselves as walking through life holding palm branches. Because they were truly pilgrims and strangers in this world, joyfully on the road, because they knew that they were already, through his life, death, and resurrection, called to everlasting life. And their lives were, in a variety of ways, along with Claire and her followers, and the sainted women and men of the penitential movement, okay, to recognize we're not trying to schmooze God into saving us. He's already done that. The world and its people and all creation is saved. It's just in the process of recognizing that. And people like you and me are making the life that we live in Christ more obvious, so people will come to believe that you are the happy bunch you are. Who seem to have a knowledge that motivates you to continue on this journey through thick and thin. That you seem to have something about you that is such a mainstay in your life that you rarely, if ever, allow anything to dissuade you from growing more and more into the likeness of the one who is looking up at you in your heart, assuring you that you are loved, that you are always being forgiven, that for those for whom much has been given, much is being asked. But the grace of your profession, little by little, in your working out of all this, empowers you to continue giving more away. Giving yourselves away in the service of the Lord's church in a Franciscan way. The Eucharist is therefore the model of what it means to live a life that means being broken, as the bread is, crushed as the wine is, but only to produce something far more than what meets the eye. Because we live our lives with the eyes of our heart. Stay in touch with your heart. Don't let it get away from you. It's there that what you receive here enters there so that you become the living, walking tabernacles that the world needs to see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. And I believe in the Holy Church of Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, once and thanks to the Father, who are in all things were made. For us men in matters of salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was born by the Virgin Mary and became a man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. He died the other day, according with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, the right hand of the Father. Come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in holy, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. Acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And so in our prayerful intercessory prayer, we give thanks to our Savior who has come into this world as God's presence among us, truly Emmanuel. So let us call upon him as we pray.
Do you have petitions?
Yeah. No. Yes. Okay. Lord Jesus, you are the rising sun, the first fruits of the future resurrection. Grant that we may not sit in the shadow of death, but walk in the light of life. Show us your goodness present in every creature. Do not allow us to be overcome by evil today. You were baptized in the Jordan and anointed by the Holy Spirit. That you would create anew and afresh in your Franciscan brothers and sisters gathered here and throughout the world a close and deep understanding of who you are with them and who you want to be through them. We pray to the Lord. Lord. We pray for all the intentions that we carry in the depths of our heart, for our sick, for our suffering, for our wayward, for all the issues to which we are dedicated in helping to work out. We pray for those who are called to be instruments of peace, and most especially for the leaders of the church, our Holy Father, bishops and pastors, the leaders of our fraternities, the servants, servants of all people who are about being of goodwill. For them we pray to the Lord. Lord God, we thank you that you give us every opportunity to meet you, to grow in love with you more and more, and to find that our encounter with you enables us to be about more and more of the work that is your loving service in the world. Help us to be what you've called us to be, your Franciscan servants, for we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I've always thought that that song, the Shakers, should be the song of the Second Franciscan Order, because the turn is all about conversion, metanoia. Turn wherever you may be. And that is a call for us to never lose sight of that. Blessed are you, Lord our God, because you are good. You give us bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made for us. They will become the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
We offer you as well this wine which comes from the earth and is made by human hands. We offer it to you. It will become our spiritual drink.
Blessed be God forever.
So receive us. Be pleased with us, Lord, in these gifts that we are and the gifts that we offer you, for we offer them in loving and sincere hearts. Pray, my brothers and sisters, that our sacrifice is pleasing to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise of the Lord.
Graciously sanctify these gifts, O Lord, we pray, and accepting the oblation of this spiritual sacrifice, make of us an eternal offering to you, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For just as through your beloved Son you created the human race, so also through him, with great goodness, you formed it anew. And so it is right that all your creatures serve you, all the redeemed praise you, and all your saints with one heart bless you. Therefore, we too extol you with all the angels as in joyful celebration, together in song we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by the sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim this mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be here in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Benedict our Pope, and Peter our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our sisters and brothers who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
For through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by the divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, Lord, but on the faith of your church. And graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And may the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us share with one another some sign of that peace.
Pace bene, poco e dobro. Pace bene, fratello. Grazie. Look, the Lamb of God, Jesus, who calls us to himself. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the nourishment that we crave for the salvation of everlasting life. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you to come to my roof, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Body and blood of Christ, bring us all to everlasting life. are our way of honoring the presence of the Lord's body and blood in them. They've served their purpose. They're no longer of any use. What has been here is now contained there. The ancient fathers of the church says, be what you have received. He has always wanted to be among us in the way that he became one of us in flesh and blood. You are, as we have said, the living, the walking presences of that Christ, because within you, you contain him. Even though we are all vessels of clay and not of fine gold and beautiful crystal, we are what he loved the most, our human condition. And so be what you have received and rejoice in what he has called you to become.
People and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in Lord God,
and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Do not work for food that will perish, but for food that lasts forever in life.
We pray, accompany us with constant protection, O Lord, and all those you renew with these heavenly gifts. And in your never-failing care for us all, make us worthy of eternal redemption. Grant this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is with you.
And with your spirit.
May he bless you and keep you, smile upon you, grant you his peace and eternal life, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Those words are what I want you to take with you as you leave. I want to wish everybody a safe, safe journey. I want to thank Father Steve and Tom Bellow as our visitors. I want to thank Father Linus.